Well, bore da. Good morning, Penrast. My name is James Goodman. I'm going to be speaking this morning from our sermon series, Discipleship, How to Become People Who Love, Who Trust and Who Follow Jesus. This is carrying on our studies in Luke's Gospel. So this morning I'm going to speak from Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 49, which is all about bearing fruit and setting good foundations. But before we come to that, just want to remind us that we'll be having a communion later on in the service. So you may wish to have some bread and some wine ready for that, or some soft drink. In this passage, let's hear what Jesus says in these words to us this morning. And we do pray that he would add a blessing to the hearing of his word this morning from the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 6, verses 43 to 49. For, says Jesus, for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good, and the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it, because it had been built well. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Father, this morning we just want to pray that you would speak to us through your word. That you'd help us to bear fruit. Help us to set those foundations in our lives. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we've been looking at this concept of the upwards dimensions of our lives, the outwards dimensions and the inward dimension, and getting the balance right. A few weeks ago, John spoke about the importance of balance and in sport in particular. I don't know if you ever tried balancing on one leg for any length of time. It's quite difficult. I don't know if you ever tried balancing on one leg with your eyes closed. That's harder still. Getting the balance right is important. Upwards to God, outwards to the world and to others, and inwards in terms of ourselves. So I want to take an unashamed focus on looking inwards this morning, looking at ourselves. Again, when Donald spoke to us a few weeks ago, he quoted these words about judgment, and these were, "I'm no judge," he said, "but I am a fruit inspector." So I want to inspect our fruit today, my fruit. I don't know about you, whether you are an avocado hater or an avocado lover. But sometimes, you know, when you pick them up, they look great, don't they? And you cut them open to put them in a salad or something, and it's hard as rock and completely inedible. Other times you cut it open thinking, great, here we go. It's going to go into my salad. And a squidgy brown thing comes out. It's gone past it. It's hard to find that just right avocado. So what's the condition of our fruit? Am I looking inwards to see how I'm doing? How am I showing the world what Jesus looks like? What sort of fruit is on display? I want to show the world what Jesus looked like, and I need to check my condition. We were talking the other day over lunch, as we do in our house, and we got talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why do we do stuff? Why do we go to church? Why do we do various things? Why do we help out? Why do we play music? Why do we sing? Why do we preach? Why do we read? And we were talking about how God gives us different gifts. Each person is gifted. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to each and every one of us. If we are believers in Christ, if we've given our lives to him, everyone is called and each has a purpose. But I'm always challenged at the same time when I hear the words of Jesus. When he says to us words like, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord?" It's almost like they trigger me. And I'm reminded when I hear the passage this morning, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord?" It reminds me of that other parallel passage in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus reminds his hearers that not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. I find that challenging, sobering. It brings me up, makes me check myself. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform miracles?" Then I will say straight to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." What an incredible thing, isn't it, to think that we could be exercising these incredible gifts, prophecy, driving out demons, praying for miracles of healing, and yet not be known by Jesus. That's sobering. And Jesus says to us and to them, "By their fruits you will know them." We can have all the gifts under the sun. We can exercise those gifts. But Jesus' words to us are, not by their gifts will they be known, but by their fruits will they be known. This is how we show the world. This is how we show Jesus to the world. This is what Jesus looks like. This is what fruit looks like. What do people think of Jesus when they see me? The theologian Tom Wright, in his commentary on Luke for Everyone, reminds us that it's possible to be so hung up on the minutiae, the details of doing church, getting it right, if you like, that we somehow miss the main point of the gospel in all of this. He tells the story in his commentary of the Russian Orthodox Church back in 1917. They were having a long and heated discussion and debate about vestments, just at the very moment and the very time that the Bolsheviks were launching the Russian Revolution. The point of it all, he writes in his commentary, the point of God's call to every individual, to you and to me, is to produce truly human beings. Moral reformation, he says, which leaves the heart untouched, is about as useful as tying bunches of grapes onto a briar bush. You know, for many years, I planted some pips, some orange pips that had come out of some oranges that we were juicing to make some orange juice, as you do. And I was quite excited when the pips sprung into life. And I planted 6 or 7 of them, and they grew up over many years. I think they're now about 8, 9, 10 years old. Only one remains. It's about 3 foot high now. It's suffered many winters. but it's never produced a single fruit. Basically, the seed was sterile. There was no life in it. I fertilized it, kept it growing. It produces nice green leaves, but it's never produced a single fruit. Jesus ends the passage with this funny story, the story that we all know very, very well from Sunday school and from children's talks. It's the story about the two builders, the two houses. One built on firm foundations, built on the rock, and the other one built on shaky foundations, built on the sand. We all know the song, "The wise man built his house upon the rock." And the point is that to both houses, floods will come. To both lives, floods come in. Tests arise. You know, Peter, in his letter, talks about our faith, which is worth more than gold, and how trials and temptations test the genuineness of our faith, so that God may in the end be glorified. There are many people who will try and sell us spiritual, political, personal solutions to our problems and our needs today. And the market is crowded with all sorts of self-help. But Jesus has the true wisdom. Who do we put our trust in when those trials and those temptations come, and what fruit will they produce in our lives? Do I put him at the centre of my plans? Because the floods do come, trials come. And what is the result of that test? Does that test produce in me a testimony? I remember once in our garden, picking up again on the theme of fruit and fruitfulness, a friend of ours, Phil, who is an expert in apple trees, came around and he looked at, we've got some trees in our garden, and we had a tree, it's called the Bardsey apple tree. And it was discovered on unessentially Bardsey Island at the end of the Llyn Peninsula. And we have one in our garden, and it's supposed to be very hardy, but it hadn't produced much fruit. And so Phil took, to my surprise, the branch of the tree, or some of the branches, and he twisted them violently to the point where the bark split on a number of the branches. And I was thinking, what are you doing? But he explained that this stresses the tree, and it actually shakes it into, or encourages it into, producing fruit. The shock, if you like, of having its branch twisted actually produces more fruit. And so often it is in our lives too, that when stresses come, when we throw ourselves onto Jesus, when we put him at the centre of the storm, when the floods come up, when we put him first, when we trust him in the midst of difficulty, then these things produce that gold in our lives, that fruit in our lives, fruits of faithfulness, fruits of perseverance, fruits of trust, fruits of love, patience, despite all. Maybe some of us struggle as we face difficulties and challenges in our lives on a daily basis. Trials and tribulations come along, but we cling to the rock. We cling to Jesus. There's a song that we sing often in Penrallt, and it's a song that's based on an old Baptist hymn, in fact, that goes, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. So my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I won't trust anything else, nothing so fair as compared with our Lord. I will not trust the sweetest frame, anything that the world or life can offer outside of him, that wishes to take his place, is not is not going to cut it, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. And the song has the chorus, Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong in the Saviour's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. And Jesus says to us, as he said to his hearers 2,000 years ago, by their fruit, you will know them. How is my fruitfulness? How is my fruit? How am I in Christ? Is he at the centre? Is he at the centre of my plans? When the floods come up, when the tests come in, will there be a testimony? Will I put my trust in him? Will I show the world that Christ is Lord, that he is the cornerstone, that the weak are made strong in the Saviour's love? Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we just thank you, Lord, that you produce fruit in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we can put you at the centre, and through your Spirit, we have both gifts and fruit. And as we exercise those gifts in the face sometimes of challenges, you bring forth fruitfulness in our life. Our faith, which is tested, is of worth greater than gold to you, Lord. Strengthen our faith this morning, Lord. We can't do it without you. Give us your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your power and with your love. The weak made strong in the Saviour's love. Be the Lord of all, in all that we say and all that we do. We confess, Lord, that all we say and all that we do is not always what you would say and what you do. But may your words be on our lips, and may your song be in our mouths. And may your Spirit fill our hearts today and always, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.